Hey, welcome to Devotions from Calvary, where truth is revealed and Christ is exalted. Thank you for joining me today for another challenge through God's Word. And certainly I apologize for not getting as many out as I want to get out and try to, and things come up and need to be more devoted to this, devoted to Devotions from Calvary. But I'm glad that you're with me today. I really am. And I want to give you something to think about and hopefully be a help to you. We have revival meetings coming up in just a few weeks, April the 26th through May the 2nd, I believe it is. It starts on a Friday, or excuse me, Saturday night, and that'll be beginning at 6:30 on the 26th. And we'll be having the Calvary Quartet, as you see right here beside me. They will be coming in from Greenville, South Carolina, and they will be giving a concert. I think this is like the fifth year that we've had them, and always enjoyed them. They have a new bass this year, and that would be Eric Foster's son. He's singing the bass, and they have some new songs that they have as well, and a new album out. And so looking forward to having them come and minister with us. And so that is at 6:30. There is no charge. We'll be taking an offering, certainly for them to help cover their expenses. But I'd love for you to come by and that Saturday night and enjoy the concert with us. And I know it'll be a blessing to you. Throughout the week, Richard Harper, the evangelist, will be with us from Sunday all the way through Friday. And Monday through Friday, the meetings will begin at 6:30. Sunday is the normal times, 9:30, 10:30, and then 6 o'clock. And so let me encourage you to come out for those times of service and be my very special guest. I'd love to see you. You know, this year is another big year for my wife and I, is coming up in April next month, believe it or not, just a few weeks away. Now I just now realize that, and I've got to get her something. Anyways, April the 2nd is our anniversary, and we will be celebrating 37 years of us, not putting up with each other, but enjoying one another, learning one another, and certainly loving one another. You know, to be honest with you, I did not love my wife like I love her now when we got married. And I think anybody that's been married for a number of years can say that there has been a succession in that love that grows. And throughout the year, it kind of expands throughout the year. And you show that love certain ways, really, from the beginning. The natural reaction when we were married was really to show our love. You know, even before we got married, we were showing our love. And then after we got married, we continued that. Just by little things around the house or little things here and there, my wife would, you know, try to do things that please me. I'd try to do things that please her. And there's that motivation of wanting to please the other. And really that motivation is through love towards one another. And my actions toward her really was a proof of my love. And also her actions toward me were the proof of her love towards me. And throughout the years, of course, more things were added and different things were developed. And so we never stopped proving our love for one another. Even though we've been married 37 years, and you can ask my wife, does your husband love you? She would say yes. You ask me if my wife loves me, I'd say yes. And then the question would be, well, how do they prove their love to you? Well, because the way we treat one another and do things for one another, we want to continually prove that love that we have for one another. So there is no doubt, there's no question, and certainly no wonder from the other spouse, does my spouse love me? No, there's always proof of that love. Others see that proof. You go to our church family, and you could probably ask them, do you think your pastor loves his wife, and so on? And I without a doubt, without a question, they would say yes, and vice versa, my wife towards me, because we prove it in the sight of everyone. It's not a show. It's just how we are. We like to show our love one to another. Now, let me ask you this, or let's just move this on to the Christian life, all right? Let's move this particular subject of love into the Christian life. What does it mean to have a heart for God? What does that mean? What is that all about? Do you know there's a lot of scripture that talks about and mentions concerning the heart and deals directly with the heart. And to be honest with you, it's our advantage. If we look at God's word and not man's philosophy or not man's tradition, they are just built on some kind of a schematic and some kind of design to get God's attention. However, that's what we would refer to as a religious system. Religious systems are man's attempt to reach out to God, where through salvation by Christ or through Christ, it is God's attempt to reach out to man. So there's a difference between religion and Christianity. So maybe sometime we'll go over that. But Christianity is not a title, it is a practice. And Christianity is not conformity by, it's conformity by birth, but not a uniformity by tradition, all right? You don't just develop into Christianhood. You don't just develop to be a Christian. You are born into be a Christian. So once you're a Christian, what does it mean to love God? What does it mean to have a heart for God? So if I was to ask you this question, you might answer it right there where you're at. And I was asking you the question, do you love God? All right. Do you love God? And most likely our answer would be one or two things. All right. It might be the definite yes, I love God. Then again, it might be the answer of, well, at least I try to. I try to. Now, let me ask you this. If you go to your spouse and ask, is it okay if I just try to love you? Well, their answer would probably be, no, I want you to love me. I want you to show your love. And so if we answer yes, okay, let's just say we answer yes, that we love God. All right. Then how do we prove that? How do we prove our love for God? What is it that we want to accomplish to prove that love for God, to prove not just before others, but certainly primarily before God? 35 times in the Bible or in the New Testament, we find the phrase, your heart. And that phrase, it indicates two things. It indicates ownership because it's possessive, but it also indicates responsibility. And our responsibility is not only to take ownership of our heart, but it's also to know where our heart is. It's my responsibility to know where my heart lies. And to be honest with you, it's very possible to know where your heart is. You know, the Bible has given us many, many things. And even though it's been written thousands of years ago, I find it very interesting that even in the Bible, there is a GPS, believe it or not. GPS. The Bible says in Matthew chapter number 6 and verse 21, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. That's the spiritual GPS. God has given us that to examine our life and to examine where our heart is. So let's go back to the question, do I love God? Do I really love Him? Or maybe we can approach it this way. How do I love God? See, these are good questions that I think they need to be answered. And not just today, but tomorrow I need to show my love, and the next day, and so on. You know, in one breath, we could say, I love coffee, and I love shopping, and I love Jesus. All in one breath and in one sentence. But to be honest with you, they cannot mean equal love. My love for the material things, my love for the things that I love, like coffee, I love hot coffee with sometimes a little bit of froth, a little bit of vanilla. I love hazelnut. I love coconut in my coffee. I don't know why, but I just like that. And I just use that term, I love coconut in my coffee. But my love for coconut in my coffee is not to be comparable to my love for God in my life. So there needs to be some sort of a level of love. There needs to be a difference. And with that difference of love, I need to show evidence of that. Now, my evidence of my love for coffee with coconut is that I drink it all. But my love for God ought to be proven even greater. The question was raised by the scribes and the lawyers in the day of Christ when he was preaching, and they tried to get him to stumble on his teachings like they always do. It's just kind of And it's ironic that they try and they fail every time, and almost, laughable in the sense that you read about it and you know the Lord's going to win every time. But they asked the Lord Jesus, they said, tell us, what is the greatest commandment? Well, Jesus said in Mark chapter 12 and in verse number 30, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. Now, he told them this, but in the chronological order of God's command, this wasn't the very first commandment, because the very first commandment was given to Adam there in the garden when he said, there's the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil in the midst of the garden. Thou shalt not eat of it. There's the first commandment. All right. However, what Jesus was saying, though it's it is a commandment that is after the garden, what Jesus is saying is this is the greatest commandment. This is the most important commandment. This is the number one on the top 10 chart. This is it right here. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God. How much and how long? With all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. And by the way, without implementing this first commandment, or the greatest commandment, is loving God, all other commandments, all other things that God has designed for you and I, all others will fall, they will falter, and they will fail, because everything is built on my love for God. I won't serve him if I don't love him. I won't give to him if I don't love him. I won't pray to him if I don't love him. I won't be faithful to him if I don't love him. I won't be a church attender if I don't love him. See, everything evolves and is surrounded. Love is a nucleus. And so without implementing this commandment, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, then nothing else will follow after that. So the question still remains that we ought to ask ourselves, do I love God? And again, you might be answering yes, but then again, I'm going to come back and say, what is it in your life that proves your love? Is my love greater for God than anything or even anyone, any person in my life? So I love my wife. I would do anything for her. As a matter of fact, I would give my life for her. I hope that she would do the same thing for me. I don't know. I would imagine so. However, I love my wife. I love my children. I love our grandchildren. We're going to have 12 coming up here within the next month, and I'm excited about that. 12 grandchildren. And I love my brothers, and I love my sisters. But in comparison, for my love for God, my love for God should exceed them. My love for God should exceed my love for them. We read what Jesus said in Luke chapter number 24 and verse number 26. Excuse me, Luke chapter 14 and verse number 26. He said, if any man come to me and hate not his father and his mother, his wife, his children, brethren, sister, yea, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Now, the Lord is not telling us, Christ is not telling us to hate others with a vengeance and hate others with an anger and some kind of a disdain, even ourselves. He's not saying that. But my love in comparison to God and my love for others ought to have such a vast difference. In comparison, there ought to be an absolute difference reflecting my love for God in comparison to my love for my family and my wife and children and grandchildren. My love for God ought to be so much greater. My devotion to God, my dedication to God, my absolute service to God, my yielding to God ought to be greater than anything else. So we must consider that in our own life. Love is one of the most powerful, matter of fact, it is the most powerful emotion that God has placed within man. Now, if God has placed that emotion in man, and Jesus, or God said in Genesis chapter 1 and verse number 26, let us make man in our image after our likeness. Well, what is God's image? What is his likeness? What is God? What is his image? Well, 1 John 4, 8 says, God is love. You'll read it again, 1 John 4, 16, God is love. You'll read what Paul told the Romans in Romans chapter 8 and verse number 39, nothing shall separate us from the love of God. So we have to keep in mind that if I'm created in His image and His love is so great, then for us, then my love ought to be so great for Him. God is not only saturated in love, but He Himself is love. He is the standard of love. He is a pattern of love for us to follow after. Now, so if we are to be sincere, if I ask, do you love God? Well, you still may answer yes. And then I'll follow up. Do you prove it? Do you honestly, faithfully, devotedly prove your love to Him? You say you love Him. I could tell my wife all day that I love her. But if she doesn't see any kind of evidence of my love for her, she would have to wonder, do you really love me? They always said, you know, don't tell me how much you love me, show me how much you love me. So my proving my love for God is absolutely a detriment in my life. I must prove Him how much I love Him. I hope that if we are asked this question, that we are honest and very transparent in saying either, yes, I love Him, but I need to prove that love better. I need to prove that love more faithfully. God's been so good to me, and I have seemingly not been as good, not shown my love to Him like I should. May God help us do this, because I guarantee you that you will find the blessings of God in your life, the joy and the peace of walking with Him, the one who loved you so much that all He asks is your love in return. I hope this is a challenge to you. Let's begin to prove our love to God. May God help us with this. Thanks for joining me today. I'm Greg Steinke, the pastor of Calvary Baptist Church, here at 1045 Monroe Concord Road here in Troy, Ohio. You can go to our Facebook page and see all of our services online. You can also go to my Devotions from Calvary Facebook and watch all these devotions as well. And then also my Devotions from Calvary podcast. You can find that on Spotify, Amazon Music, and some other platforms. And you'll find there are a few of them there that are not on videos, but just on audio. And so we'd like to invite you to go there and be a part of that. All right, if you have any questions about the Bible or about anything about our church, just email me at pastor@calvarytroy.com. Hey, I hope to see you come by the church, especially for our revival meetings, April the 26th through May the 2nd, and I'd love to have you by. All right, but I hope to see you here at the church sometime, or I'll see you online. Lord bless you.